Amen. All right. If you would please turn your Bible to Daniel chapter number 3. Very familiar passage of Scripture, Daniel chapter number 3. Well, they were singing, and I thought to myself, well, I am blessed because he's good like that.
Amen.
That's right. Amen. He's so good to me. He's better to me than I could ever deserve. He's better to me than I could ever explain.
Right.
Once in a while, I do like to try to explain it a little bit, but he's just so good to us.
Yes.
Amen. Well, I know that you are probably here, and many of you have come a good distance to be here, and you're probably tired, and so I'm going to do my best to be brief tonight and give you what the Lord's put on my heart several weeks ago. Didn't know that I would preach in the meeting, but I know better than to go somewhere and not be ready to, and so I feel like this is what God's put on my heart, and I trust that it'll be a help and a blessing to you. Very simple thoughts. But I hope it'll be a good way to start the meeting. If you would please keep your Bible there in Daniel chapter 3. We're not going to read a text as we traditionally would. We're just going to work our way through some things and see some verses and just work our way through the text, see what God will show us. And so let's pray together, and then we'll jump right into this tonight. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. And Lord, we are indeed thankful and grateful for the day you've given to us, given us safety as we've traveled this way. Lord, we appreciate you for bringing us to this place. We've been looking ahead to this meeting for some time now. Lord, been praying for this meeting for some time now and excited that the time is finally at hand. And Lord, as Brother Ledbetter has already said, Lord, we're just looking forward with anticipation for what you have for us throughout the course of this week. Pray you'll help us now. Lord, I feel very inadequate for this part tonight. But Lord, I am thankful and I'm grateful for the opportunity. Lord, pray that you'll give us the good touch of God. And Lord, I pray we'd be filled with the Holy Spirit of God to be able to preach the Word of God to your people. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us and challenge us, and that we'd leave here tonight, Lord, ready, not just for the meeting, but ready for what you have for us in days ahead in our own lives as well. For what you do, we're thankful in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so Daniel chapter number 3, I know it's a very familiar passage of Scripture, a very familiar story, and one that I'm hopeful that the familiarity of it will not cause you to be dull in your hearing. But it's the story, one of the most well-known stories in all the Bible, of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, as they are known by their Babylonian names, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, and how that they are cast into the burning fiery furnace because they would not bow down or worship the idol that had been set up. I'm sure you all are familiar with the story. But let's walk through it anyway. Amen. First, just by way of introduction, just to kind of get us going the path we want to go, the direction we want to go, I want to point out here that the image that was set up in verse number 1, the Bible said, Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Now, best I can tell, studying, trying to figure out measurements, as it's given here in the Scripture, 60 cubits and then a breadth of 6 cubits. That measures about 90 feet high by about 9 feet wide. This is a massive, massive idol, massive structure that Nebuchadnezzar has put before everyone. But may I say, regardless of how monstrous this idol might have been, it was still lifeless. No matter how big, no matter how monstrous, no matter how large it may have been, no matter how big it might have been in the sight of men, it's still lifeless. It's not a real God. It can't help. It can't give any encouragement or any direction. Can't give any healing. Can't give anything. It is a monstrous yet lifeless idol. What good is it to serve a lifeless dead God anyway? Amen. That's right. What good is it to serve a lifeless, dead God anyway? You notice the image. Secondly, I want to point out the influential. This is the age-old strategy right here. Verse 2 and 3, the Bible said, then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together under the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. and they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Isn't it interesting that Nebuchadnezzar is wanting eventually for everyone to bow down and worship this image? So in order to get that to happen, he pulls in influential people. He pulls in the who's who of society. What a list. It was such a list that the Bible listed it twice. How that he pulled in the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces. This strategy is age-old strategy. This strategy that Nebuchadnezzar is employing is a strategy that the devil's been employing for thousands of years, and that the world has been employing longer than Nebuchadnezzar was employing it. And it's that peer pressure strategy. If we can get people that everybody looks up to bow down and worship this image, then everybody else will feel the pressure to just fall in line and bow down and worship the image as well. I don't know about you, but I've made up my mind a long time ago. I don't care what the rest of the world does. I ain't interested in what they do or where they go or what they worship. I made up my mind a long time ago. I'm just going to go with God. Amen. That's right. Doesn't matter if it's the president or on down to your local townspeople. It doesn't matter who goes where and does what. I just decided I'm going to do right. Amen. I think that'd be a good idea. For those of you who are here this week for Smoky Mountain Youth Revival, I'd say it'd be a good idea to just go ahead this week and make up your mind. I'm going to go with God. I'm going to go God's way. I'm going to go with God's word. I'm going to go with God's will. I'm going to go God's direction. I'm going to go with the old time way. I'm going to go with the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to go with God, regardless of who goes, how, and where. Amen. Well, the influential, the everybody else is doing it mentality. I'm going to tell you right now, if everybody else is doing it, you probably ought to stay away from it. It'd save you a whole lot of hassle down through the years. If everybody else is doing it, that is a flashing neon sign saying, stay away from this. Well, anyway, the influential, then I noticed the influence. There's a definite influence here in verse 4 and 5. Then an herald cried aloud, to you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. Here's the influence that he's using. All kinds of music. I imagine I might have just killed it dead as a hammer. But for those of you who are listening, you got to be real careful about your music. Amen. I'm talking about what I know about. You got to be real careful about your music. It's amazing how that music makes what they call, I remember Tim Davis sitting back there in the back. I'm going to use the word Tim Davis used back in the 90s. Music makes an indelible impression upon your mind. That sounds good, don't it? I'd have never come up with that. That was a Tim Davis special. It makes an impression on your mind. It leaves a mark on your brain, and you don't get rid of that mark. I'm not being irreverent when I say this, but you can get music in your mind and get saved by the grace of God, and the blood of Jesus don't take that music out of your mind. There's stuff that still goes through my mind from the 80s. Do y'all understand how long ago the 80s were? There's stuff that is still in my mind from the 80s. And I'll probably, long as I keep a mind, I'll go to my grave knowing those songs. Would to God I had spared my brain the trouble. Would to God I had my brain interested in something else besides all kinds of music. I think it's interesting the way it's spelled too. I just noticed that today. It's music. Those of you with a King James Bible, it's not spelled the way we spell music. It's got a K at the end. Y'all see that? All kinds of music. I'm talking about it's probably music that would make the Holy Ghost sick. Amen. I think I need to park right here for just a second. I'm talking about music that would make the Holy Ghost sick. If you're saved by the grace of God, I know what I'm talking about. Understand me. If you're saved by the grace of God, you can listen to the wrong kinds of music and it will make the Holy Spirit of God so grieved inside of you that you won't be able to read your Bible and get anything. You won't be able to pray. You won't get nothing out of the preaching. You'll get so turned around that you won't even know if God in church and any of it's even real. It's the influence of music. That ain't what I'm preaching on. If you'll just kind of hang in there with me, we'll get somewhere. But we're never going to go where I'm trying to get us to tonight. You'll never get to where we want to get to in the text in your life tonight or any time in your life if you have a music problem.
Amen.
The influence of music. All kinds of music. It'll ruin your Christian life. Amen. I'm getting some strange sideways and stern looks. Some young people are looking at me like they're my daddy and they're my mama. You're not my daddy, you're my mama. Why are you getting mad at me? I'm just preaching. All kinds of music. Hey, all kinds of music led to thousands and thousands of people bowing down to worship an image. What about that? Amen. Music, it leaves an indelible impression on the mind, a mark that's not easily erased. So you see then the image and the use of the influential and then the influence of music. Notice the imposition. I'm saying that to say there's some punishment that's imposed here. Verse 6 and 7. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Therefore at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. This is pressure based on punishment. Can I paraphrase what Nebuchadnezzar is saying right here? He's saying, yeah, you're going to bow down. You're going to worship the golden image that I've set up. How do I know you're going to do that? Because if you don't, I'm going to throw you into a burning fiery furnace. I'm going to impose a punishment. Can I say it? You nonconformists, we ain't going to put up with you. Here's a king of the world telling everybody in the world, and as we'll see, some Christians, as it were, coming along, he's telling them all, we're not going to put up with you nonconformists. We are not going to tolerate you. You're going to go our way, or we're not going to put up with you. You're going to go our way, and you're going to do things our way, or we're going to cast you alive into a burning fiery furnace. And don't you know that worked on almost everybody? It worked on more than 99% of the population. It worked on almost everybody. And that takes you right into the introduction here of these three godly young men. These three godly servants that had determined they would not bow, they would not worship the golden image. Notice in verse number 8, we're getting to where we want to go to start preaching. Amen. Wherefore at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that at every man shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music. Boy, they sure are making a big deal out of that. Shall fall down and worship the golden image. Whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he shall be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the provinces of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Here are three young men, regardless of the image that was set up, regardless of whoever else was with influence that would go the way of the world, regardless of the influence of music, regardless of the imposed punishment that meant surely death, they had made up their mind. They would not bow. They would not bend. They would not worship, fall down and worship this idol that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And you know what happened to them? They threw them into the furnace. Can I say it? These old fellas, these boys, these young men, they were on fire for God. Ain't that clever? They were on fire for God. If God will help me, I want to preach on that subject just for a few minutes. Hopefully it'll be a help and a challenge to some of you young people. I want to preach on the subject, on fire for God. We need some young people in this day that would be on fire for God. We need some young people in this day that would determine in their heart, it does not matter to me what the world does. It does not matter to me what the world says. I'm going to go with God. I'm going to give my heart to God. I'm going to give my talents to God. I'm going to give my prayers to God. I'm going to give my worship to God. I'm going to go all the way with God. I'm not going to set up boundaries. I'm not going to go part of the way and no further. I'm going to go with God as far as He wants me to go. We need some young people that'll be on fire for God. Well, notice their reasoning here. And this is admittedly my supposition. Just some possible excuses that they could have used to go ahead and fall down and worship the idol, thereby saving their own lives, very literally saving their own lives. Just some things I thought about. Maybe they could have said amongst themselves, among the three of them, well, we'll fall down, but we're not actually going to worship the idol. We're just going to fall down like everybody else. We're going to act like everybody else. We're going to do what everybody else does, but we don't mean it in our heart. We're not going to worship the idol. So what you're saying is, you're not a duck, but you're going to go ahead and walk like a duck and quack like a duck. Why don't you stop being a duck? Be who you are. Doesn't matter who does what. Doesn't matter what the world decides. Doesn't matter how they behave. Why don't you just go ahead and behave like you know you ought to and be a Christian from the core of your being? I mean, all throughout who you are. Just be real. Could have used that as an excuse. They could have said, well, we won't become idol worshipers. We'll just fall down and worship it this one time, and then we'll ask God for forgiveness of it later. You know, can I put that in 2023 Baptist terms? We'll just 1 John 1:9 it, fellas. I mean, we don't want to burn in a fiery furnace. So let's just go ahead. We'll comply. We'll fall down on our knees and we'll bow down and we'll worship the image. And then, you know, we'll get back to the house and be like, Lord, you said if we confess our sins, you'd be faithful and just forgive us our sins, cleanse from all unrighteousness, the Lord. Preacher, that wasn't even in the Bible. I know, but you understand what I'm saying. They could have said, we'll just, as it were, 1 John 1:9. And use 1 John 1:9 as a crutch. To go ahead and sin instead of just going ahead and using the whole Bible to go ahead and stand. Are y'all out there? I see you, but I don't know. They could have said, you know what? The king has absolute power and we have to obey him. God will understand. God will understand. God won't understand. God will not understand. The same God that said, thou shalt have no other gods before me, will not understand if we give our life to something other than Him. As good as God's been, why would you give your life to somebody other than Him? As good as God's been, as good as God's blessed you, why would you give your life to the world? Why would you give your life to some other worldly pursuit? Why would you give your life to anything other than Jesus? He won't understand. He won't understand. They could have said, well, the king has appointed us to the positions that we're in. We owe this to him. So somebody does something good for you, you're going to let them hold it over your head the rest of your life. Somebody does something for you, you're going to let them hold it over your head the rest of your life and manipulate you. Really? Is that the game you're going to play? Because you start playing that game, you'll be playing that game the rest of your life.
Amen.
Somebody decides to be a blessing to you and be good to you, ain't no sense in letting them hold that over your head. You don't owe them for that.
Amen.
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 They could have said, well, This is a foreign land. So God will excuse us for following the customs of the land. They could have said that. Are y'all out there? They could have said, you know what? We're strangers in this land. This ain't like home, fellas. When we get back home, we'll do, you know, what we are to do. But while we're here, let's just go along to get along. Let's just go along to get along. They could have said, well, our ancestors set up idols in God's temple. This ain't as bad as that. So now we're comparing ourselves to other people. And as long as what we're doing isn't as bad as what we view what they did, it's okay. That's another game. You can go down that road, you can go down that rabbit hole, and you can chase it. But I'm telling you, our measuring stick is not other people. Our measuring stick is not what this fella does or not what this young lady does. Our measuring stick's not even what the preacher does. Our measuring stick is what that book says. Our measuring stick is what would Jesus do. Amen. They could have said, we're not hurting anybody. Let's just bow down. Let's get this over with and let's just slip on out. We're not hurting anybody. Problem is, it's untelling who's getting hurt. Because somebody is watching your life. Somebody is watching your life. Preacher, ain't nobody watching my life. I'm just 15 years old. He's a 10-year-old somewhere watching your life. Preacher, ain't nobody watching my life. I ain't but 20 years old. There's a 15-year-old somewhere watching your life. Somebody is watching your life. Somebody is watching every step you take. Somebody is watching every decision you make. Somebody's watching your life. And if you go the way of the world, they're going to think, well, that's the thing to do. And they're going to follow right in your footsteps. And they're going to walk right out the house of God, right out the door, and right on into the world. Oh, we're not hurting anybody. You don't know who you're hurting. These are just some ideas, some examples of some things that maybe they could have said. But may I say, rather than using these or any other array of excuses, they chose to obey God rather than man. Amen. They chose to obey God rather than man. Amen. I don't know yet well enough to say you ain't made that decision. So I'm going to ask. Have you made that decision? Have you made the decision? I'm going to obey God rather than man. I'm going to obey God's word rather than man. I'm going to obey God rather than man.
Amen. Amen.
Or will you allow the same excuse to keep you from being on fire for God? So just the reasoning, some things maybe that went through their minds. Notice the requirements. These three young men were on fire for God. There were certain qualities that were present in their lives that led to them having this fire in their lives. If we will be on fire for God, by the way, I know this is Smoky Mountain Youth Revival and the emphasis is on youth, but I declare I think we could stand some adults, some folks that are a little farther down the road, some folks with a little more seasoning, a little more gray on top. Amen. I think we could probably stand for some of those to be on fire for God in this day as well. If we're going to be on fire for God, the same qualities that were in the lives of these three young men are some of the same qualities that we're going to have present in our lives as well. So what kind of qualities are we talking about? First of all, I want to see their persistence. Verse number 13. Then Nebuchadnezzar in his rage and fury commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye shall fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if you worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Here you see the king giving them not one opportunity, but twice. He gives them two opportunities to go ahead and do what everybody else has already done and bow down and worship this idol. Two opportunities for them to bow down. That's twice the pressure. Matter of fact, it's probably more than twice the pressure, because the first time, everybody bowed down. But this time, they're being singled out. Everybody's looking at them. Everybody's staring at them. Everybody, I mean, they're under the magnifying glass. They're under the microscope. What are they going to do? They refuse to bow down the first time. They refuse to worship the image like the rest of us did the first time. Oh, but the king's ratcheting up the pressure. He's putting more pressure on them. And now we're going to find out what they're made of. May I say they made the same decision the second time that they made the first time. They were persistent in their pursuit for God. They were persistent in their decision to live for God. They were persistent in their decisions. Persistence. The king gave them not one but two opportunities to worship the idol like everybody else. But both times they chose to stand and obey the word of God. May I say, if we'll be on fire for God, we're going to have to be persistent in our stand. We're going to have to be persistent in our practices. Amen, that's right. If we're going to be on fire for God, if we're going to influence anybody else for the cause of Christ, we're not going to do it being wishy-washy. Amen. We're not going to do it kind of being a little in and a little out. If we're going to be on fire for God, there's going to have to be a persistence in our heart and a persistence in our life that says, well, today might not be such a good day, but I'm going to go ahead and serve a good God. Things might not be going my way, but I'm going to go His way. Are y'all listening to me tonight? I'm telling you about a persistence that they had. And it didn't matter what the world did. And it didn't matter what pressure the king put on. And it didn't matter what the magistrate said. They made up their mind, I'm going with God. And they were persistent in that pursuit. They were persistent in that practice. They were persistent in the decisions that every little decision they're making at this point is going to lead them to whether they're going to be on fire for God or whether they're just going to be on fire in the furnace.
Amen.
Amen. Their persistence. Notice their priorities. Verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. When they said, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter, they are being very respectful. That sounds sort of disrespectful to us, but they were being very respectful. But in a very respectful way, they are saying, we don't even got to think about this decision, King. We don't even got to pray about this decision, King. We don't even have to be careful about this decision, King, because we've already long ago made up our minds. I'm talking about their priorities. Here's where some of you young people are right now, tonight, and right now, this week, at Smoky Mountain Youth Revival. You're not at the point yet where you're going to be faced with making that decision that's going to determine your future. You're not there yet, but here's where you are. You're at that place where you're going to make decisions.
Yes, sir.
You're going to make decisions. It's not that one this way or that way decision where you're either going to stand or you're going to burn. Not under the crucible yet, but you're at the place where I'm going to make some decisions. I'm going to make up my mind here tonight. I'm going to make up my mind this week, or I'm not going to make up my mind, which is making up my mind. I'm going to make up my mind this week, one way or the other. I'm not leaving here. Some of y'all are here. I'm talking about right now. I'm not leaving here until I've made up my mind whether or not I'm going to go with God. I'm not leaving this building. I'm not leaving this youth camp. I'm not leaving this youth revival until I've made up my mind. I am or I ain't.
Amen. Yes, sir.
And you're going to begin making decisions even tonight and even this week. You know why I know you're going to make them? Because you're being confronted by the preaching already. Preaching demands a response. And I don't mean whether or not you say amen. Preaching demands a response. God, He's confronting young people tonight, maybe even confronting adults. He's putting it right before them. And you're making decisions tonight. You're making decisions this week. Am I going to go with God? Or am I not going to go with God? Because if I'm going to go with God, then I need to get rid of this. And I need to get rid of that. If I'm going to go with God, I don't even have to name what this and that is at this point. Because God's already naming it in your heart. If I'm going to go with God, I've got to get rid of this. And I've got to get rid of that. And you're deliberating that. If I'm going to go with God, then I'm going to have to stop doing this. And I'm going to have to stop doing that. And you're deliberating that. You're also deliberating, but if I go with God, then I can walk with Him. And I can have what the preacher has. And I can have what the preacher's wife has. And I can have what they had in the Old Testament. I can have what Paul had. I can have the peace and assurance. I can have the touch of God in my life. I can pray and get through. You're making decisions right now. You're not at that point yet. But here's the thing. When you get to that point where you're put under the microscope and you're put under the pressure like we have in our text, you'll either say, man, I don't know what to do. Or you'll say, I don't even have to think about this because I made up my mind a long time ago. You'll either be just wondering, biting your nails, I don't know what to do, and you'll crumble under the pressure. Or you'll be able to hearken back to an altar in Newport, Tennessee at Calvary Baptist Tabernacle in Smoky Mountain Youth Revival 2023, where you got down on your knees before God, you did business with God, and you said, as it were, God, I'm willing to give this up if that's what it takes to go with You. I'm willing to give that up if that's what it takes to go with You. I'm willing to pay the price to go with You. God, if it means these people no longer want to be my friends, I'm willing to pay that price. And I made up my mind a long time ago, and you'll be able to look back at an altar. You'll be able to look at, back at decisions you made in this meeting, this week, and say, I don't even have to think about this. This is a no-brainer. This is a no-brainer. Fall down and worship an idol. Why? Why would I do that? I've been alive longer than your idol's been in existence, sir. What good's your idol going to do me? Don't matter what everybody else is doing. That don't matter to me at all. Why would I even consider? This is a no-brainer. Are y'all getting this?
Yes,
this is a no-brainer. Fall down and worship an idol because you're playing. Why? Why would I care what music you're playing?
Right.
Fall down and worship an idol because the influential people. Wouldn't it be something to fall down and worship? I'm not picking on you. You're just sitting here. Wouldn't it be something to fall down and worship an idol because somebody on, what do y'all use now? Not you. TikTok. Is that what people use now? Sounds like a candy you put in your mouth. Tic-tac. Wouldn't it be something to make a life decision based on what somebody on TikTok said? When you say it out loud, that don't make no sense, does it? When you say it out loud, it makes no sense. I'm going to make a lifelong decision that could put me in a position to meet my potential mate in the perfect will of God, or could take me plumb out of position to where they're not even in the picture of my life at any point in time. I'm going to make that decision based upon what some influential person said. Makes all the sense in the world, don't it? Am I doing okay? Are we still preaching what the premise is in this book? They were able to say, King, we don't have to think about this. Doesn't matter what the penalty is. Doesn't matter what the punishment is. Doesn't matter what anybody else decided to do, because a long time ago, this is what we decided to do.
Amen.
It'll be a no-brainer for you then if you'll get it settled now. Amen. Priorities. They had their priority. By the way, they had their priorities in line with the Word of God. That's right. Had their priorities in line with the Word of God. Their presentation. Daniel chapter 3 verse 19 through 21. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, The form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Can I say it? Y'all will get a kick out of this if I say that. I'm just trying to keep you, you know, engaged. He big man. The form of his visage was changed. He's big mad. All right. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace one seven times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, their hats, and other garments, and were cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. What in the world is that even in the Bible for? The fact that they laid hold on these three fellas and threw them into the midst of a burning fiery furnace with all their clothes on. Why is that even in the Bible? As I studied, this is what I discovered. I didn't know this exactly this. It was customary to remove the clothing of those being executed, yet these three kept their clothes on. What about that? I ain't trying to be cute, but anybody else notice how quiet it just got? Y'all about to hang me out to dry standing up here on this platform, ain't you? They were on fire for God. And they had all their clothes on. What about that? What a novel concept. Preacher, you're one of them, ain't you? I am. I am a dinosaur, and I embrace that. I don't even care anymore. I'm just an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental, premillennial, King James Baptist. And I made up my mind a long time ago. That's who I am. That's what I am. So that's what I'm going to be. And you know what independent, fundamental, premillennial, King James Baptists believe? They believe in modesty. Based upon what that book says. God does not bless a show of the flesh. Amen. That's right. God don't bless a show of the flesh. Do you think it's a coincidence that they are thrown into this burning fiery furnace? They kept all their clothes on, no matter what it's going to cost them. And after this getting ahead, but you know how the story goes, after that decision is made, and after that punishment is imposed, after all of that is done, then God shows up. Do you think God would have showed up if they hadn't have been modest? I'm telling you, God blesses modesty. And God does not get near immodesty.
Amen.
Amen. It's exactly right. Well, I'm going to move along. Part of being on fire for God, part of the whole point of having God in your life and blessing you and God's touch on your life. That's all we're saying when we're using the phrase on fire for God. The whole point is that others would see what he's doing in your life. Not that others would see you. You start pulling it all off. They're not seeing God, they're seeing you. Why would God touch that? Why would God bless that? God ain't within a million miles of it because he ain't getting no glory from it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's right. Notice another, just one of the requirements, one of those things in their life, one of those characteristics. They were men of prayer. Verse 22 and 3. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the Bible said, fell down. Bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. I'll grant you, it's possible that they fell down because they fell down. They were bound, and they did get cast. So I'll grant you, maybe they just fell down. Or maybe they fell down in prayer. I mean, it stands to reason, does it not? Are y'all out there? Does it not stand to reason? I mean, wouldn't you pray if you was cast into a burning fiery furnace? I mean, I don't think it's a stretch to think that when they fell down, buddy, when they hit their knees and said, "Oh God," I don't think that's a stretch at all. I believe they are men of prayer. Men of prayer. They fell down and began to cry out to God. May I say, if you're going to make a decision, if you and your heart are challenged, I want this fire of God. I've been hearing about it for a while. This ain't the first time you've heard about God's touch on your life and God using you as a young person. It ain't the first time you've heard that. And you're saying to yourself, I want it. I want what He's saying. I want what He's preaching. I want what I've been hearing preached about. I want what I've seen in some others. If that's you, I just want to show you and tell you, it'll never happen without prayer. It'll never happen without being a person of prayer. Cannot be on fire for God without prayer in your life. So you see their reasoning, just some possible ideas, just throwing that out there, just some excuses maybe they could have had, maybe some excuses any one of us could have had as to why we are bow down and worship an idol, go the way of the world, not be on fire for God. Then the requirements. If you want to be on fire for God, well, here's three fellas that were, and these are some characteristics in their lives. Probably going to have to be characteristics in my life or your life as well. Thirdly, notice the results. What are the results of being on fire for God in our lives? What are the results in our lives as well as lives of others? Notice in verse 24 and 5, the protection of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, "Did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire?" They answered and said unto the king, "True, O king." He answered and said, "Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire. And they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." Isn't it amazing? They had made up their mind a long time ago. Now the time comes, they're put to the test, and they don't even have to think about it. They don't have to wonder about it. They don't even have to make up a decision because they made it up long ago. And so they live with the consequences. They're cast into the burning fiery furnace, and they are completely protected in there. What about that? What about that? They were bound when they went in, and when they got in, they were loose. They were bound before they got put in this situation. But God blessed them. And now they're more free than they were even before they got cast into the fire. Y'all see that? They were bound before, but they're loose now. See, the world has this thing backwards. And they try to make it backwards in your mind. See, you're free now. You're free now. You're young and you got all these years ahead of you. Do you know that? Do you really know how many years you've got ahead of? Are y'all listening to me tonight? The world would have you believe you're young, you've got all these years ahead of you, and you got all that time way out yonder that you can do that living for God business. Right now, while you're young, you don't have to make those kind of decisions. You just need to worry about things that are fun and things that appeal to the flesh and things that you can enjoy as a young person. And you'll be free now, because whenever you get into that religious business, that's just bondage. Well, they're half right. Religion is bondage. Religion is bondage. But I want you to understand something. I ain't religious. I'm saved. I ain't religious. And I'm not bound by religion. I'm saved. S-A-V-E-D. I'm saved. And I'm not bound by religion. I'm not in shackles. I'm free as I can be. I'm the freest I've ever been in my life. Since January the 5th, 1992. Preacher, you're really old and you've been saved a long time. Well, to some of you, that's probably right. I'm here to tell you that I've been saved since Sunday night, January the 5th, 1992, in this town, on the other side of town, in church, in the old building. I'm telling you, God saved me by His good grace of God. I was bound then and I've been free ever since. Bound by sin. The world wants you to think if you'll get saved and go with God, then you'll be bound. No, no, you're bound by sin. You're bound by being lost. You're bound by being a saved person that won't just go all the way with God. That's the bondage. The freedom is in making up your mind. I think I'll just go with God. That's the freedom. The freedom. Loose in the fire. Would you rather be bound and on your own, or be on fire for God and the freedom that goes along with that? The protection. What about His presence? Isn't it interesting? They made up their mind long ago. They don't even got to think about it now when they're put to the test. They go with God regardless of the cost. Y'all with me? Verse 24 and 5 again. Well, verse 25. He answered and said, "Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. The form of the fourth is like the Son of God." I feel like the familiarity of this is dulling some of this for you. That's kind of what I'm feeling back from you. The presence of God wasn't outside the furnace. The presence of God wasn't out there in the world. The presence of God was in the furnace where the fire was, where they got cast for not being a conformist. The presence of God in the fire. I imagine when I say this, you've been praying similar things too. Brother Bailey, I imagine you've been praying similar things too. And if Brother Poindexter was here, I imagine he would say, "Yep, I've been praying similar things too. I've been praying with all my heart for several weeks now that the God of heaven would come through this place and make Himself real to the young people at Smoky Mountain Youth Revival like He's never made them real to them before. He would make Himself real in a personal way, make Himself real, because I know that if you get to see Him as real, personal, not in your Bible. I thank God I can see Him in my Bible. Don't misunderstand. But not in the Bible only. Not as a story grandma and grandpa passed down. Not just what the preacher thunders from the platform. I'm talking about the God of heaven getting up next to you and making Himself real to you. As real, more real than the person sitting beside you. More real than the breath you just inhaled and exhaled. More real than the food you've eaten today. More real than the water you've drank today. I'm talking about more real than the car you got in and drove in down the road to get here today. I'm talking about if God ever makes Himself real to you in that manner and in that fashion, you will never be the same. Why do you think we're having this meeting? Because we love to spend money on Pepsis? You think we're having this meeting so we can have like a fashion show and show and tell and a talent show and see who can preach the best and see who can sing the best? It ain't got nothing to do with that. We know that if we can get you to a place where God makes Himself real to you, you'll never be the same. That's what we're talking about in this furnace. That's what we're talking about being on fire for God. I'm talking about God presence being so real in your life.
Amen.
It changes everything.
Yes, sir.
It changes everything.
Amen.
What are the results of being on fire for God? Well, you saw His protection. His protection in the will of God. Freedom in the will of God. You saw His presence. Notice the proving of God. If you remember back in verse number 15, Nebuchadnezzar had said, at the end of verse number, I guess it's 15, yes sir. "Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" In verse number 26 though, notice what he says. "Then Nebuchadnezzar came near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. When it was all over, because these three young men had made up their mind a long time ago, I'm just going to go with God. Doesn't matter what anybody else decides. Don't matter what anybody else does. Doesn't matter what the world thinks or says. I'm just going to go with God, because they made that decision long ago and then started making subsequent decisions to lead to that in their lives. Now they've come to the crossroads. Now they've been put to the test. And now God has been faithful and God has made himself real to them, and others have saw it. He went from saying, "Who is that God that will deliver you out of my hand?" to recognizing, "You are the servants of the Most High God." A heathen man recognized, you're not just the servant of a God. You're not just one of the servants of one of many gods. No. He recognized, you are servants of the Most High God. Said it a minute ago. Being on fire for God is not so people will see you.
Right.
So they'll see him.
Amen.
It's not about me. It's about him.
Amen.
Notice the power of God. Verse 27. The princes, governors, captains, kings, counselors being gathered together saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, wasn't hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of the fire had passed on them. Even though they were on fire for God, the fire of the furnace had no effect on them. The fire of the furnace, the fire of the trial, the fire of the crucible had no effect on them, because they were on fire for God. Amen. And the promotion of God. I'm just going to finish. I'm just going to tell you what it is. I'm not going to read it all. I think the Lord's finished here. Verse 28 and 9. He said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego." He made a decree. Nobody could speak anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sword, he said. Because these three young men were willing to be on fire for God, God and his power was promoted in the land. Why would I want to be on fire for God? So that godliness would be promoted in the land. I mean, have you noticed that our land is not more godly than it was, I don't know, 2 or 3 years ago? 8 or 10 years ago? You want to know how that's going to change? It's when God's people, especially young people, get on fire for God. The promotion of godliness in the land. Interestingly enough, verse 30, the promotion of the godly in the land. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Isn't it interesting? Out of all the people that bowed, the only people that got promoted were the ones that did not. God has a way. God has a way of promoting those who will stay with the stuff. God has a way of promoting those who will go with God. Amen. So I wonder, what could God do with one young person, one adult? What could God do with one family? What could God do with one youth group? I mean, these were three young men. They were godly young men. Can we not kind of sort of say that here's a small youth group? These three young men. And look what God did with just this small little youth group. Because three young men wanted to be on fire for God. Once a fire is started, it usually spreads. Will you be the one that will be on fire for God? Amen.